I'll tell you why I can't find you. Every time I go out to your place, you've gone fishing.
You know.
Oh, there's a sign upon your door.
Gone
fishing.
I'm real gone, man.
You ain't working anymore.
Could be.
There's your hole out in the sun, where you left a row half done. You claim that hoeing ain't no fun.
But I can prove it.
You ain't got no ambition.
Gone fishing. Yeah, that actually sounds like a pretty good idea to me. Fishing Frank here, and this is God and Fishing. I'm the fishing part. That's Pastor Donnie. He's the God part. And Barry, he just slides right in there in the middle.
I'm in the sandwich. I'm on the meat of the sandwich. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not sure that's exactly what I was saying.
No, that's not what I was saying.
For some reason or other, that just really wasn't where I was going.
That's a bunch of baloney.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Well, you could fill the baloney part, all right. Pastor Donnie.
Yes, sir.
Our God guy here. Why don't you open up with a little bit of the God's good graces?
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for such a wonderful day, an awesome day out on the water today as we were out fishing, returning a safe home to our dear loved ones. And Father, we ask you to be with this meeting today, this fellowship time that we have together, and let it be a glorification to you. And Father, just encourage others to be kind to one another and to love one another at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. Amen. That was nice.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah.
All right. Barry.
Short and sweet.
Yes.
What's the fish?
The fish for today is cobia.
Cobia.
Cobia. Not the boat, but the fish.
I've got the boat.
You've got the boat?
261.
Really?
Yes.
No kidding.
It's a really nice boat.
Yeah.
They named it after a really nice fish, so there you go. Win-win.
Yeah. Now, does your boat look like a cross between a catfish and a shark?
No.
No. Because every time I think of a cobia, I think prehistoric.
Right.
This is a dinosaur still swimming.
Yeah.
I bet you it's been the same for the last 50 million years.
It's a very interesting fish. I don't know why, but it's not like the most beautiful fish out there, but every time I come across them, just swimming, free swimming, I just get the butterflies. I get excited every time.
You get fin fever.
Yeah, there you go, fin fever. I've never heard that before.
Well, I just made it up. So I'm hoping I'm not stealing somebody else's gear.
We're going to trademark that, so there you go.
Fin fever.
But when you're out there and you see a cobia, and people don't realize, cobia fishing is a lot about hunting.
It is.
It's either an accidental find or you go hunting for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't, it's really hard. Okay, I'm out fishing and okay, I'm going to get a cobia. No, you got to go look for them.
Yeah. Yes, you do. And I've been fortunate to catch them in so many different ways here in the harbor and a few times on the near shore wrecks, and every way is different or they surprise you. There's been one time or a few times I've gone out with Richie, as I've mentioned, and we just actually go out and target them, and that's fun when you're actually hunting for cobia. But the majority of the time they just show up and you scramble.
I actually know with acquaintances or better, mm-hmm. probably about 80,000 fishermen. I'm not exaggerating that point. Literally, I would have to say that people coming in out of the store, we do 60, 80,000 people a year that go through our store.
Yeah.
And I can only name three that go out to target cobia.
Right.
That actually can go out and with reasonable certainty say they're going to catch a cobia.
It's not even
and Richie's at the top of the list.
100%. It's not even usually, like you said, he changed my thought process of cobia. You can 100% go and catch them almost every time with certainty. Like you said, we've rarely gotten skunked when we go fishing for cobia. But then again, people will be fishing right next to us. There's nothing crazy. And
he'll go to the Alligator Creek Reef. There'll be 20 boats there, and he'll catch 2, 3, 10, 20 cobia. Nobody else will maybe they'll catch some fish, maybe they won't, but really, when we say you go out to target cobia, it's a very elite class.
That's what I'm saying. He's like untouchable. Like he's unheard of. Yeah. I've been on the boat.
Very, very, very intense fella. One of the nicest guys I've ever had the pleasure to talk to. Yeah. But when he decides he's going to do something, you know how passionate you are about God, Donnie?
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is what you are. This is who you are. God is your guy or your girl or your supreme deity. Okay? And that's whatever he delves that far. He would sit out there for hours. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is I don't want people to think that you kind of go out and go cobia fishing. Uh-huh. You can, but it's not really successful. A guy got really mad at me a while back because we were talking about all the mahi in the Gulf. And there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
But the Gulf is a big place.
It's a big pond.
It's a big place. And, you know, you don't know where these mahi are going to appear. People are catching them, but they kind of appear next to the boat while you're grouper fishing or you're doing something for king mackerel or whatever you happen to be doing, and all of a sudden there's mahi there, and you just have to be prepared for that. So the hard part about all this is understanding that if you want to spend, like Richie did, weeks upon weeks months upon months learning the habits of the fish, when they're there, what they'll eat. He's the one who figured out that they won't hit a bass spinnerbait, but they'll follow it right next to the boat.
Yes.
You throw a bass spinnerbait in front of a cobia, reel it nice and slow, and he will follow that lure right up to the boat, within a foot or two.
Mm-hmm. And like his nose,
but he won't hit it.
The nose will be like right on the skirt. Like you're expecting he's going to hit it any time, and he'll just have his nose on the skirt for 10 feet to the boat and then just turn away.
Yeah, literally, his nose is touching the darn hook.
It's just not opening his mouth, yeah.
We never went targeting cobia. Uh-huh. We never. We have ran into them by accident. And you'll know it. They're very aggressive when they hit the line, mm-hmm. and they're very strong.
Yeah.
And usually Dad, you know, he's 80 now, and it's, oh, and then you hear him string out a little bit. But they're a very fun fish to get. Now, I'm assuming that Rich has done a lot of studying to find out where they typically are during the seasons that he's wanting to go fish and what the items he likes to look for that fish. Mm-hmm. But with that, you also have to know what kind of bait they're going to want to eat during that time of year.
That's where the weeks and months come in.
Yep.
Because mm-hmm. you're throwing one thing at them, and like he said, well, I'll try bass spinnerbaits, and found out they would follow them but not eat them.
Right.
Which was the craziest thing. But if you throw a DOA bait buster every once in a while, a piece of crab every once in a while, buckskins, gold spoons, mm-hmm. I mean, they hit a variety of things.
We've caught them on shrimp.
Oh, yeah.
Big shrimp. Mm-hmm. That's it. But, again, I was not targeting them. We were freelining shrimp. That was it.
Here's the thing that I always look for when it's cobia. If it's a nice, calm, sunny day, mm-hmm. cobia love, like, cruising right along the surface with their fins out on a calm day.
They make, like, a little wake because they don't have too high of a dorsal fin. You'll just see something, like, a little wake being created on the surface, right, on those slick, calm days,
it's,
right?
It's like a hint of a fish.
Yeah, exactly.
It really is. It's like a hint. If you're thinking of, you know, jaws coming across the surface of the water with the big fin, that's not it. It's a little
hint.
Are we
talking about schools, small school, large school?
One to two fish, could be more, but
they still kind of make that same graceful accent in the water, yeah.
Okay. And it's just this little tiny, their dorsal fin, even on one, let's say that you got a 60-pound cobia. His dorsal fin's probably only 4 or 5 inches tall.
Okay.
And it's thin. It's not thick like a shark. It's more like you would find on like a bass or something like that. Except it does come up to a crown or a point. Mm-hmm. And that little point, so you've only got 2 to 3 inches of fin sticking out of the water, and it's not thick. Mm-hmm. You can see it, but it's, you know what I mean? It's got spikes in it. It's a fin, not a shark or a dolphin fin.
Right,
it's a regular fish.
It's not too prominent.
Fin. But when you see that, they're cruising along the surface. But now, calm, bright, sunny days are where I'm almost certain I can run into a cobia because, let's say I'm anchored up fishing.
Yep.
And if you're a fish and you're cruising along the surface, it's hot. You get that sun baking down in your back.
Right.
So You know how everybody goes to look for triple tail because they're hiding in the shadows of a buoy?
Right.
Cobia love hanging out in the shade on bright, sunny days. So you're in the Gulf of Mexico, your boat's anchored up, you're grouper fishing, snapper fishing. Every once in a while, lean over and look. Because
they'll be sitting right under the boat, in your prop, right under your prop, in your engine.
Yeah, they'll literally be hanging out in the shade under the boat. Every once in a while, they'll come out a little bit, go back in. But it's 50-50, or I'd say 30% chance, you get a 3 out of 10 shot that you actually saw the cobia go up under your boat. And that happens when I'm in the harbor, mm-hmm. when I'm in the Gulf. Mm-hmm. These fish are found everywhere. And this holds true whether you're in the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Caribbean. These fish are worldwide. They love the shade, calm flat days. They like cruising that surface. And all of a sudden, there's one under the boat.
Yes.
Now, if I actually want to catch a cobia, I put a rod in my midship rod holder. Not the one all the way in the back or up by the front. The one right kind of by the back of the center console, you know, midships.
Right.
And I got it in there, and I put that rod down. I backed the drag off so that I physically test it with my hand. I grab the line, pull down on that line to make sure it will come out. Not super easy, but not real hard. I want to make sure I can pull a line out of there because I'm only putting that bait 1.5-2 feet below the keel of my boat.
That's a very good tactic, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they're laying there in the shade, and all of a sudden there's, you know, snack right there. That snack's right there.
This is a nice little, like, tiki hut here. You know, I can just hang out in the shade and grab a little bite to eat, you know, like, and then they get hooked.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of bait do you like to use for it?
I've used frozen sardines, live pinfish, shrimp, blue crabs, white bait, thread fins. They're a broad range feeder, but they are called Ling the Crab Eater.
Okay.
And they love blue crabs. Yeah. That's why you get them on shrimp
half
so much.
Blue crabs or whole blue crabs.
If I'm going to put one out under the boat for a cobia, I'm going to take one about palm size. Now, when I do the palm size, what I'm looking for is I get my hook through the point on the blue crab on one side of it because I want him to kind of drift with the current, but I want him going sideways.
Yep.
That's natural travel for blue crab.
Yep.
Now, on the other side, I'm going to take my pliers or whatever it is, and I'm going to start breaking the shell up.
Okay.
Now, I don't want it to crush the shell.
Just enough to let it seep out.
Just a little, make him seep a little bit.
I think we talked about that one time with Genie on here.
Yeah, with for black drum.
Yeah.
Same similar. Yeah.
Same scenario. It's the same thing, but if I'm fishing a redfish, I take the top shell off, expose all the meat.
Okay.
But I don't know the cobia is there. So what I want to do is give him a little hint to the smell, but I don't want it to all flush away too quick. That's the problem when you take you half a crab or you peel a top off. Once you break into that shell, it's washed out.
Right.
And it goes quick.
Yeah.
And if I'm fishing, you know, I'm planning on being in this spot for a couple hours catching whatever I'm catching. And that's my trick to getting cobias.
About now, Barry, what kind
of 1.5-2 feet below the side of the boat.
What kind of hook are we talking about?
Well, I mean, it depends on the size of the bait. I've honestly haven't hung a crab under the boat for these cobia. But I'm assuming with the size of the crab you're saying, Frank. But then again, all hooks are different in terms of size. I would say about, like, for a palm-sized crab and with a cobia, they're not too picky with hook size. They're not finicky. So I would go with, like, a solid anywhere from a 5 to an 8-0 circle hook.
Yeah.
Or you can use a J and really stick
it. I use a J hook because I have a hard time getting a circle hook through crab.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's no rules about using the hook or not using the hook. And I've never gut-hooked one with this technique because I've got a little bit of pull on that drag. But the one thing, if you got too much drag, you can't get the rod out of the rod holder. Here you've got a fish that could be as small as 30 inches, but as big as 5 or 6 feet.
That's right.
And if that rod's got so much drag pressure, you got to be able to get it out of the rod holder.
Yep.
So make sure that's not going to happen. Because now, let's say you got a 60-pound cobia on, and you hooked him within 2 feet of the boat.
Yeah.
He's making a 100 to 300-yard run.
Right.
And he's gone.
Right.
So we're talking probably 60, 80-pound test on the braid?
Yeah, 40 to 60. 40
to 60?
40 to 65.
All right.
Now, the weird part about this is that first run ain't the power run. Because he takes off with it, But you're still messing with your drag. You're right. doing stuff. And right. you want to let him get some line because the line is what's going to whoop.
Get him away from the boat, which is the structure in this case.
Well, when you're reeling him in the first time back to the boat, whatever you did to get him there, loosen your drag.
Yeah, he's not done. They'll play like dumb or something like
that. Yeah, because he's going to go out there. You got this fight. Oh, wow, he's right here. He's right by the boat.
Uh-huh.
And he gets within 5-10 feet of the boat. And he makes the first run look like that was fun time.
Yeah.
Off he goes again.
Yeah.
And then I think the most aggravating part for me with Cobia is after that second run, you get him back up, and you get him within 5 feet of the boat,
just
10 feet, just out of reach of the landing net.
Yeah.
And then he goes back out about 20 feet.
And then you'll still bring him to that just buffer zone where you can't reach him, but he's in safety, but he's close enough where you just like want to just end it and palm it and bring him in.
He's right there. He's right there. For goodness sake, he's right there.
On the surface, shaking his head. You're just like, I just want to grab him. Yeah.
You know, and he just will stay there.
Yeah.
And this can go on for a half hour, hour, where he'll just go around the boat or go back and forth. And it's always just out of reach of the landing net. Yeah. And but you can see him the whole time. He's right there.
Yeah.
That's why people lose cobia.
I've seen it happen a lot. Yeah,
trying to force him in, that's it.
Yeah.
You've got to sit back. Now, let's bring Pastor Donnie into this for a minute. Give me a prayer for patience. I need a prayer for patience.
You know, I want to tell you something about that before we do that, Frank. God has a funny sense of humor. When you pray,
you're telling me, look at me, okay?
When you pray,
if you look at a guy, you don't think he has a sense of humor, talk to me for 5 minutes.
God has a sense of humor about that. If you ask for patience, he's going to give you reasons to be patient. That's one of those things when you start praying for patience.
So now we know God invented cobia.
Yeah, he definitely, that and red lights and Inglewood with what do you call it, snowbirds down here.
Uh-huh.
That teaches you patience. In all seriousness, patience is one of the things where it's a teaching tool. Teach you to be patient.
Okay, but I'm still going to go for my original thought, and we're going to, in your prayer, I want you to ask God for a little patience for landing a cobia without the repercussions.
It's not really a repercussion, but all right, let's go with him.
Well, I'm trying to think of the word.
It's a teaching technique.
Yeah, but I don't need to be taught this time. All I need is a little bit of patience. So let's figure out. You figure out some way of letting me slide by God's sense of humor here.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your time. And Father, as we're discussing these times out on the water with our fish and how we have to land them, Father, we just ask you for patience so that we don't try to act too quickly. One of the things you tell us often in the Bible is to long suffer, be patient, and wait upon you. And Father, that's what we ask for. We just ask for that patience, the opportunity to wait and be patient on you, and let you deliver the fish to us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
All right, now Barry.
Now, I did that. I want to hit at least 17 red lights on the way home. Thanks, Frank.
Well, just think what he'll do to me. It's okay. You probably slide. I'm the one asking for this, so he's probably going to let you slide. But although that was a good prayer, so he's probably going to be...
I'll tell you, the one cobia we caught, Frank, here in the harbor, off this one point off the, I think y'all call it the West Wall,
mm-hmm.
Down at the end, We were free drifting the shrimp off to the side, probably about 10, 15 feet away from the boat, and he did exactly what you're talking about. He ran us. We pulled him back in to about that 5, 10 foot buffer. We can see him. He's just right there. I mean, if I had a bow and arrow, I could bust him. But off he goes again.
I can tell you, most people don't pray for patience. They pray for a shotgun at that point.
That'll be the God.
Send it right now.
I would say most people, no, God, I don't need patience on this, but I really like a shotgun.
That'll be the God guns and game that we're going to be talking. You know, a little 410, or, you know, in your holster. They call it a bonds arm. I'm pretty sure Fish and Wildlife would be after you in a hurry because it sounds like a cannon. But
yeah,
it's a he did end up snapping us, but what he did was he chased the boat. He came at us.
Yeah.
And so we thought he, you know, after the third time, we got him with that 5 and 10 foot, and he stopped. And then he looked at us, and then that was it. He charged the boat, went straight up underneath the boat. We didn't have enough drag out.
Now, here's how you prevent that bad thing from happening. You take your rod, and you literally, if you can, if you have time, loosen the drag. If you don't worry about it. Put that rod tip as far into the water as you can.
And then let him run that way.
Now, what happens at this point is you're going to feel the direction of the pull. If you can get that rod tip, your boat, I think, drafts almost 20 inches. So if you can get it 2.5, 3 feet down the water, just push it down as far as you can. Just, I mean, if you can get it so the reel's almost in the water, that's where you want it. Feel the direction of the pull and wait, because he's going to go around again. And you don't, all you're doing now is waiting to get that major run done and then either walk to the front or the back of the boat. Now, I'm going to strongly suggest the front of the boat because the back of the boat has motors.
Right.
Now, if you have somebody to raise the motors up, it's not too bad. But 99 out of 100, if I have a choice, I get that rod tip all the way over the side of the boat, down deep in the water, and now I start walking to the bow. Once I get up to the bow, if the anchor line's there, I'm going to hold it as much as I can. I want to make sure I get a good grip.
Go up and under.
And then I'm going to back that drag down a little bit, go under the anchor line, and then bring it back up. Now I can fight that fish again.
Okay.
But if you got to get that tip down in the water as far as possible.
Okay.
One of my funniest cobia stories was on the East Wall like 6 years ago. I caught it on video on my GoPro. I caught this. We were trout fishing on the East Wall like in March. And this cobia just happened to swim by us. I threw the topwater, got him. It was like a 22-pound cobia, so it was around 40 inches to the fork. And we were in a foot and a half of water.
Wow.
So this fish was, like, pretty in this skinny stuff. And the whole time, you could see it and could not... I was using 10-pound braid.
Now, what top water were you using on it?
The Spook. The one with, the three treble hooks on it.
Oh, the full-size original.
Yeah.
That would be, like, a Top Dog or a Skitterwalk 10.
Yes. And it was one of those things with 10-pound braid and in a foot and a half of water... I'm not kidding. We probably fought this fish as much as I could with 10-pound braid for like 40 minutes. And he stayed the whole time. He never even really made one big run except for the initial run. And I had my GoPro on, and I literally just not gave up, but I had enough patience for 40 minutes. I got in the water, walked to him, and he just stayed in that same area and grabbed his tail and dragged him back to the boat. Because we could not.
Really?
We could not get close enough.
Now, that's one way of catching
them. That's dedication right there.
That's one way of catching them.
Hardcore dedication.
I'm not exaggerating.
Out of the boat, cross the water, grab him by the tail.
Because you could see the plug just sitting in his lip for 40 minutes. And I'm like, and he kept head shaking so much. I'm like, if I lose this fish because we can't get him in with his 10-pound braid and he shakes this plug, which is very, you know, that's a lot of leverage.
Oh, yeah.
In that grass, he could easily get it hung up. I'm like, I'm going to not forget this forever. So I went in, and it's on my Tarpon World YouTube page. It's like 6 years ago, but
wow.
I got him.
Now, boys and girls, you do have to understand that Barry is kind of like Tarzan. He's 6 foot, something and a half, that's really, really tall, big, you know. I mean, this guy's not 4.5 feet tall and demure.
I've seen him holding shark tails. There's not a lot of people who like to grab those things.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to get in the water, I guess.
Yeah, no.
Cobia, shark, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So, me either, but I have my limits. I don't like the business end of the shark.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go that far. I've seen you kind of go out there a little ways.
Yeah.
You know,
he's out with waist deep water with eight foot sharks. Yeah. 10 foot sharks.
And no.
Yeah. I'm with you, Donnie.
No. I'm a big fella.
You only live once.
And I'm mean.
We have. Oh.
Yeah.
The call of the berry.
Yeah, Steve Earn got took out by a stingray. I'm just throwing that out there, but I respect the wild, and I know that on the back end, sure, tail, harmless. The front end has a lot of teeth, and I just call it, you know.
Okay, so anyway, you jump out of the boat, you go grab the fish, you take him back up to the boat?
Yeah. Did you eat him?
I kept, definitely. That's why I hadn't caught a cobia like for a year before I caught that one, and I knew it was upsized, and I was just... That's my favorite fish to eat, which this is a good segue to our
cooking fish
show.
That's right. Yep.
And that's why, actually, that cobia was the first cobia I Googled a recipe and found one that I like, and I've stuck to it since. And
You're going to be able to do the recipe tonight?
Yes, I will. So okay, you got to stay tuned.
Hang on.
You know?
Tune in. Cooking Fish is on later today.
Yeah.
All right. Now, so you've caught him by accident.
Yeah.
Barry's actually targeted him. Now, one of the things that when I'm out there anchored, let's say I'm in the Gulf or in the harbor, and I'm anchored up for fishing for something else, and now I see a cobia come up behind the boat. One of the things people don't understand is if you have a live well with a lot of bait fish in it, they get keyed in on the scent from your drain.
They can smell
from
it.
From the live well drain.
Yep.
Because it's swirling the water around, the fish are getting little scales knocked off, there's a lot of bait scent in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So they come up, they're kind of hanging out behind the boat. Now all of a sudden you look behind the boat, and here's this cobia. Go into the live well, grab a bait fish, flip him one. Just don't put a hook into it. Meanwhile, have somebody else grab a bait fish, put a hook into it, you know, and also have them doing that from the center console forward, not right there where everything's going to be seen.
Yeah.
And because all you did was go into live well, you grabbed a few fish, and you flip him one, and he eats it. Now your buddy's trying to get that the bait on the hook. He's
right.
Fumbling around.
Right.
He's dropped the fish three times. He's put it through and broke the hook all the way through the bait. So he's got his second bait. He's getting ready. And this time, you fed him a second one. Now, you can either give him the third one with a hook or the fourth one with a hook. But more than that, you're probably not going to get the fish. Less than two freebies, he's probably not going to take it because he's pretty wary. But you give him one freebie, he gulps it down, no harm, no foul. You give him the second freebie, he gulps it down, no harm, no foul. Well, this is good. Well, the third or fourth one, he has a leash on it and a hook. But he doesn't care by this time because he's gotten two that were yummy and everything worked good.
Mm-hmm.
But without at least two freebies, maybe three, you're going to lose him. By the time you get to the fourth fish, he's kind of losing interest. Somewhere between. It's weird because three or four, you know, you give him two to three freebies, but the fourth or fish, if he doesn't get him by then, he's going to veer off.
Right. Good deal.
Now, one of the things about it is you're sitting there and you see him and you throw him a freebie, he ignores it. Okay? This does happen. Like, I throw shrimp down to him. If I've got a shrimp bucket, I just reach in, grab some shrimp, throw a free shrimp out for him. Sometimes they won't touch it, whether it's a white bait or a shrimp, or even pieces of frozen sardines.
Mm-hmm.
They won't, sometimes don't do it. So then I get one on the hook, I go up to the front of the boat, throw out about, I try and toss it right underneath the bow, I let some line out, stick my rod down in the water, and I start walking it back, but I'm going to want to have about 10 feet of line out, because I don't want my rod to get quite back that far. I want to stay 8 feet away from with the rod,
mm-hmm.
and I just let the bait drift from underneath the boat, boom, he'll hit it.
Yeah.
It's really weird. He wants him drifting back from the boat for some reason.
Huh.
If you're just standing on top, if you toss him a freebie and he eats it, you can toss him a bait and he'll grab it. But if he doesn't grab it when you toss it to him, you got to go to the front and drift it under the boat.
Very interesting.
So, anyway, we're running just a little bit long here today. So, Pastor Donnie, would you say us a prayer for all cobia fishermen and their patients and their families?
Father God, we're going to thank you again for this time. It's the educational time to be in your world and go after the fish that we enjoy. And Father, again, we just ask you to keep us safe out on our water and always return us safely back to our dear loved ones. And Father, we always want to pray for the fish. May they be plentiful. And Father, give us the patience to catch them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I tell you why I can't find you. To a place you've gone fishing. But there's a sign upon your door.
Uh-huh.
Gone fishing.
I'm real gone.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. We'll catch you next week on Gone and Fishing.
There's your hole out in the sun. Where you left a row half done. You claim that hoeing ain't no fun.
But I can prove it.
You ain't got no ambition. Gone fishing by a shady, weighty pool.
Shangri-La.